oftentimes in the past where I study all week and then at the end of the week I'm like, oh, I'm not happy with what I have, it's no good, and so I have to figure out something really quick Saturday afternoon to preach. I usually revert to either talking about my favorite subjects, the deity of Christ or the Trinity or something in that area. Now, this week, I did not have trouble knowing what I wanted to preach. I had something specific that I wanted to preach, and I knew what I was going to say. I had a plan, but we're going to do that next Sunday. Because a few days ago, it seemed like all week I was seeing things online, people talking about the Trinity. And I saw especially some Jehovah's Witnesses throwing out the same old, weak, poor arguments that they continually use, which are just so bad against the Trinity. And it got me thinking, whenever I preach about the Trinity, I always try and go slightly deeper. I always try and, you know, it's fascinating to see how the Old Testament talks about God and then how the apostles use the Old Testament language to apply it to Christ, to the Spirit, and things like that. And I like getting into stuff like that. And I usually don't deal with the poor, weak, used a million times arguments that Jehovah's Witnesses use that are pointless. Just because they're so poor and weak. But I was thinking about it this week and I thought to myself, you know, the average person who meets the average Jehovah's Witness, these are the arguments that he's going to hear. They're not going to get into, well, how does the New Testament use the Old Testament, and they may explain to you what the Trinity is and all these things. They don't get into that. They use these little gimmicky catchphrases and terrible arguments again and again to try and trick people, basically, into denying the Trinity or not understanding the Trinity and so forth. And so, what I want to do today, it's going to be a simple lesson. We are going to talk about the Trinity, so it can get a bit more difficult in some areas. But what I want to do is, I want to talk about the most common arguments that Jehovah's Witnesses specifically, and most people who deny the Trinity, but specifically Jehovah's Witnesses, use to deny the Trinity, and just answer them so that you know what the very simple answers are. Now, very quickly, when we talk about the Trinity, hope you all know, we're talking about one God in essence, but three persons. We're saying there is one being who is God, but this one being is three persons who share that divine nature. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are all God. Jehovah's Witnesses deny this. They say, no, only the Father is God, Jehovah. That's the name of God in the Old Testament. Jehovah, or Yahweh is probably a better pronunciation. And they say, Jesus is just a creation. Jesus is not God. Jesus is Jehovah's first and greatest creation, but he is not the creator God or anything like that. And the Holy Spirit is even way lesser than that. So they reject the deity of Christ, they reject the deity of the Holy Spirit, and they reject the Trinity. Now, one thing that you may hear, they don't always go this route, but something that you may hear by JWs, Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll say to you, the Trinity was made up in the 4th century at the Council of Nicaea. Now, there was a council in Nicaea in 325 in which, yes, indeed, a bunch of people got together who were discussing the deity of Christ and the Trinity and that subject. And yes, indeed, they voted or concluded or whatever in favor of Jesus being God and in favor of the Trinity. And so the Jehovah's Witnesses like saying that's where it all began. Before that, Christians didn't believe in the deity of Christ. Before that, Christians didn't worship Jesus. Before that, Christians didn't believe in the Trinity or anything like that. Of course, if you know anything historic, that is historically laughable. If you ever hear a Jehovah's Witness tell you something like that, know from the outset that they're ignorant and they don't know what they're talking about, so you can quickly dismiss them. From the beginning, Christians identified and worshipped Christ as God. Let me give you a quick quote. It's not from the Bible. It's from Ignatius of Antioch. Ignatius was the bishop of the church in Antioch, the same church in Syria where Paul was a few decades earlier. We're talking now around the year 100. All right, so this is the first generation right after the apostles. All right, Ignatius said, "There is one physician of flesh and of spirit, generate and ingenerate, God existing in flesh, true life in death, both from Mary and from God, first possible and then impossible, Jesus Christ, our Lord." We know historically that Christians have worshipped Christ from the beginning as God. And also, even if you want to talk about the term Trinity, was actually coined by Tertullian. Tertullian was this church writer who wrote around the year 200. And he described God as a Trinity. That's where we get the word from. And so this was around the year 200, way before the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century. All right, so any concept of, oh, Christians didn't believe any of these things before the Council of Nicaea is historically ignorant. All right, so I just wanted to put that aside. We do not believe in the Trinity because any council said so. We're not Greek Orthodox, right? And we're not Roman Catholics. We don't believe this because a council said it. The council is not what is authoritative. We believe what we believe based upon the Bible and the Bible alone, sola scriptura. The Bible alone is the ultimate and infallible authority for all things and matters of faith and life. And so the Jehovah Witness then will come and say, but the Bible, where does the Bible say God is one in essence but three in person? Show me the verse. They're big on this. They're big on this. Show me the verse that says God is one in essence but three in person. Which of course is a ridiculous request. Because you can't just come up with, well, I want the Bible to say this exact statement. Because I could just go back to them and say, well, where does the Bible say the one true eternal God is Jehovah and Jesus is his first and greatest creation? You don't, that's not how you do theology. You take the entirety of the Bible and you see what does it teach about God. You can't just request, well, I want it to say this specific sentence. All right? So the reason we believe in the Trinity is, first of all, because we believe in sola scriptura, and we also believe in tota scriptura. What does that mean? We don't just believe that the Bible is authoritative, we believe that all of the Bible is authoritative. You have to believe everything that it says. And if you take everything that it says about God, we come to the belief that God is a Trinity. So, first of all, what I'm going to do, give you a definition of the Trinity, as slightly more detailed, and then we'll look at some of the other arguments that they use, and you yourself, often we see what the Trinity is, you yourself will see how bad the arguments of the Jehovah's Witnesses are most of the time. So, there are three things that I'm going to write on the board. There are three things that the Bible teaches which make us conclude that God is a triune God. Number one. Boom. There's only one God. One God. Okay? There's only one God. Absolute monotheism. The Bible, go to Isaiah 43. Go to Isaiah 45. God says, I am the only God. There is no other God. There was no God before me. There's going to be no God after me. That's it. I am the only one who ever existed, ever will exist. I am the only one true God. End of story. Absolute monotheism. In the Old Testament, God gave his name as Yahweh or Jehovah, if you want to butcher it a bit. But that is the one true God that we find about in Scripture. Second thing that we find in Scripture is we read about three, let me write it out, distinct, is this how you spell it? Okay, distinct persons. I'm going to underline that because that's an important word. We read of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are not the same person. And when I say person, I don't mean human being. Only the Son became a human being. The Father and the Spirit did not become human beings. But when I say persons, I mean personalities. All right? Someone who thinks, who loves, who hates, who likes, who dislikes, who has personality. All right? There are three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father. The Father sent the Son into the world. He didn't send himself. The Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, not the Son. Jesus said, I will send another comforter. I'm going to go away. I'm going to send someone else. All right? Three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We read that in Scripture. Thirdly, we read that these three persons are all identified as God. Each one of them is identified as God. Yet, there is only one God. When you read of the Father, he's called God, he's called Lord, he is eternal, he is the creator of all things. Then you read about the Son, who is also called God, who is also called Lord, who is also the creator of all things, who is also eternal, and so forth. Then you read the same thing about the Spirit, who is also called God, who is also called Lord, who is also eternal, who is also the creator. And so you're like, okay, this is what we have to deal with. This is all that the Bible teaches. There's one God, and there are three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and each one of them is identified as God. And therefore, we come to the conclusion that God is one. In essence, there is only one being who is God, but that divine and eternal and infinite nature of God is somehow shared by three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you deny any one of these three, you reject the Trinity. And you fall into some kind of heresy. Let me give you an example. Mormons. They'll accept that there are three distinct persons. They'll accept this. And they accept that all three are identified with God. But then they conclude what? Oh, so that's three gods. Father's God. Then Jesus is a different God, and the Son is a different God. And they also believe in a bunch of other gods. Okay, they have many, many gods, not just the three. All right, so they reject this. If you reject one, you become a polytheist. You have to accept all of them to believe in the Trinity. Jehovah's Witnesses deny which one? They deny this one. They say, yep, absolutely, there's one God. Yep, we see the distinction between Father, Son, and Spirit. Absolutely, yep, they're not the same. But then they deny that all of them are identified as God. And then you have the third one, which is, it's a theological term that's called modalism. I'll explain it. And there are a bunch of people who are modalists, some Pentecostals, oneness Pentecostals, hold to this position. They say, yes, there is one God. And yes, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all identified as with this one God. But they say they're not three distinct persons. It's one person who presents himself at different times in different ways, in different modes. Hence, modalism. Like, for example, an actor who goes on stage with a certain mask and portrays one person, and then he leaves, and then he comes back with a different mask on, and he's pretending to be someone else. It's still the same person, he's just presenting himself differently. So they would say something like, well, in the Old Testament, God presented himself as the Father. Then he presented himself as the Son. Then he presented himself as the Holy Spirit. But it's the same person. It's the same person. It's not three distinct persons who coexist at the same time. All right? So if you deny any one of these three, you fall into all kinds of weird heresies. In order to believe all of this, you have to conclude that the Bible teaches the Trinity. If you're going to believe in tota scriptura, with everything the Scripture says, you have to believe in the Trinity. So, let me give you now the number one argument that you will hear by Jehovah's Witnesses. Alright? You will hear this by every Jehovah's Witness who knocks on your door, by every Jehovah's Witness that will stop you on the street, by every Jehovah's Witness article. The number one thing that they say is, but the word Trinity is not even found in the Bible. That's their number one argument. Everyone says that. They're going to make sure that you know that. You believe in the Trinity? It's not, the word is not even found in the Bible. And I go, oh no, my faith is shaken. Here's what I answer when they say the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. I say to them, are you a monotheist? And of course they immediately go, of course I'm a monotheist. I believe in one God. And I say, where's that word in the Bible? Monotheist. Monotheism. Where is that word in the Bible? Well, maybe that word is not the Bible, but the Bible says there is one God. Oh, so you are using a theological term to describe something from the Bible. Even though the term monotheism isn't there, it's a theological term that describes the fact that there is one God. Ah, so Trinity, this is not a difficult concept here, Trinity is a theological term that describes something about God. Okay? We never said the word itself it's in the Bible. It's a theological term that describes this. Okay? You will even hear people say, we believe in Jehovah. Jehovah's name is found thousands of times in the Bible. And you go, yeah? Well, the name Trinity isn't found anywhere in the Bible. It's not a name. It's a theological concept. It's a theological term. God's name is not the Holy Trinity. That is a theological term that describes the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Which is a name, by the way. We're to be baptized in the name, singular, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Which means what? When they say to you, term Trinity is not even found in the Bible, their number one argument is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. We never said it was in the Bible. It doesn't matter. Is this in the Bible? Doesn't matter whether the word is or not. Number two. This is, once you say that's irrelevant, here's where they go after that. Again, this is something that every Jehovah's Witness will do the moment you say that you believe in the Trinity. All right? This is what they're going to say. They're going to find some verse in the Bible, and they're going to say, but the Bible says there is only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is only one God. And you go, do you think we're polytheists? Do you think we're tritheists? Do you think that the Trinity means three gods? We've been saying all along there's one God. It's the number one pillar of the Trinity. So for you to say to me there is only one God, that's not an argument against the Trinity. That's an argument against polytheism. We're not Mormons. We're Trinitarians. So to tell me that there is only one God is irrelevant. I already know that. We agree on that. Oh, but Jesus said to the Father in John 17, you are the only true God. Shocking. Jesus was not a polytheist? What do you want? Okay. Was he supposed to say you are one of many gods? Or what was he supposed to say when he's speaking to the Father? Of course he's the one true God. These arguments are irrelevant, and it goes to show that they don't even know what they're arguing against. They don't know what they're talking about. When the Jehovah's Witness starts pressing that there is only one true God, we know it's one of the main elements of the Trinity. So, Again, they are irrelevant. Another argument that they use, and this could take all kinds of forms. They could get any verse they want. They'll say things like, but Jesus prayed to the Father. How can they be the same person? The Father spoke from heaven to Jesus. How can they be the same person? You see the problem here? We never said they're the same person. We're not modalists. We're Trinitarians. They don't know what they're arguing against. You say, Nico, these are irrelevant arguments. Why are you even pointing them out? Because that's what they say all the time. So be prepared. Oh, but Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit. So how can they be the same person? They're not the same person. It's one of the fundamentals. One in essence, three in person. Again, absolute ignorance of what they are arguing about. Three distinct persons. The Father did not die on the cross. The Son did. The Son did not come on the day of Pentecost upon the disciples. It was the Spirit. I had a Jehovah's Witness lady. I was telling her about the Trinity, and she goes, but 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, not 1. Simple math. I got really annoyed. And I said, okay, first of all, we're talking about the holy and eternal God here. We are talking about a being unlike any other. So before you go with those, ha-ha, gotcha things, ha-ha, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, no, 1, ha-ha. I said, we're talking here about eternal matters. This is not a game, first of all. And second of all, if you like math so much, I believe that God is infinite. And infinity plus infinity plus infinity makes infinity, not three infinities. So stop playing games with the Bible. And stop playing games with God and thinking you're so clever. She was like, all right. She was actually pretty nice because other times they won't admit when they said something dumb and they just kind of keep on fighting. She was like, all right. We know that there is one God. Any arguments that Jehovah's Witnesses bring telling you that there's one God, we already know. We're not polytheists. We know that there are three persons. Every time you hear the Jehovah's Witness telling you, but we can't be the same person, we know they can't be the same person. There are three. Which of course leads us to the final thing that they will... They argue against this, they argue for this, which we agree. They argue for this, which we agree. And then finally, here is where we disagree with the Jehovah Witnesses. Because they deny that the Son is God and they deny that the Spirit is God. Let me tell you really quick how to deal with Jehovah Witnesses on this subject. And we will open our Bibles now. I'm sorry, we haven't even opened our Bibles. I can give you a long list of the passages that talk about Jesus being God. And of the Spirit, but there are fewer. For Jesus, it's like just all over the place. I can give you tons of 2 Peter 1, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. John chapter 20, Thomas sees him and says, my Lord and my God. Colossians 2, in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of deity. We could go on and on and on and on with all the passages that say specifically that Jesus is God. But here's what happens. Jehovah's Witness will say, but there's this passage here that speaks of Satan as the God of this age. Or they'll find some other passage where the term God is used for someone who is not God, and they say, you see, the word God can be used of someone other than God. The term God can simply mean someone powerful and authoritative. Therefore, that's how we apply it to Jesus. Now, of course, that's terrible theology to take what one word means in one context and then apply it to every other context just so they can fit your own theology. But nonetheless, that's what they do. So, letting you know right now, any verse that you give them that says that Jesus, if you go to John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Any passage you give them that says that Jesus is God, their answer will be, well, God there doesn't mean God. So any passage that says Jesus is God is out. Can't use it. Okay? Can't use it. They won't accept it. Because God doesn't mean God. You'll say, okay, what about all the passages that say that Jesus is the creator of all things? Colossians 1. All things were created by Him, through Him, for Him. In Him all things consist. John 1. All things were created by Him. There is nothing that was created that was not created by Him. They'll say, well, that simply means that He created all other things besides Himself. Because God, Jehovah, created Jesus first. And then Jesus, together with Jehovah, created everything else. So when it says that Jesus created all things, well, it means all things besides Himself. Not all things, not all created things. Just all created things besides Himself, being a creature. So, if you say to them, if you show them all the passages that say that Jesus is God, they're going to say, they're out. Don't accept them. Because God doesn't mean God. You show them all the passages that say Jesus is the creator of all things, they'll say, don't accept that. Creator of all things does not mean creator of all things. So what do you do? Well, here's what I do. Let me just show you two passages. There are a bunch that you could look at. There's a bunch. There's not just one. But this one is the most plain. So go with me to Psalm 102. We'll be quick. Psalm 102. The psalm begins, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. And notice the Lord there in the Hebrew is the term Jehovah or Yahweh, all right? This is a prayer psalm to Yahweh, Jehovah. And it starts off, hear my prayer, O Jehovah, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Keep on going, jump down to verse 11. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O Jehovah, Yahweh, shall endure forever in the remembrance of your name to all generations. The entire psalm is about how this man is afflicted, and he is going to wither away and die, unlike God, who is eternal and remains forever. All right? So let's jump down to the end. The entire psalm is about Jehovah. And here's what he has to say about Jehovah. He says, verse 25, of old, you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. All right? There's a distinction between the Creator God, Jehovah, and the creation, which all passes away and changes and is rolled away like a scroll, unlike God who endures forever. All right? Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. I first take them there to make sure that we're talking about Jehovah. And there's no question, because even, you know, in their Bibles, it doesn't say Lord. For us, it says Lord. In their Bibles, it says Jehovah. And so I make sure, and I say, we're sure that Psalm 102 is talking about Jehovah, right? Absolutely, no question. So then I take them to Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, the writer is explaining how Jesus is greater than angels. Look at verse 5, for example. It says, "For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten him? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." What the writer here is doing, he's quoting the Old Testament again and again and again and again to show that Jesus is greater than angels. Because concerning the angels, all he has to say is this, how they are servants and so forth. Look at verse 8. But to the Son, he says. Now, this is a contrast to what he's been talking about. Okay? To the angels, well, look at verse 7. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and ministers and so forth, all right? But to the Son now. And he's going to give you two quotes from the Old Testament that refer to the Son. They refer to Jesus. The first one is from Psalm 45. Your throne, O God, again calling him God, is forever and ever, so forth. Go jump down to verse 10. And here's the second quote concerning the Son, in contrast to angels. Concerning the Son, Jesus, the Old Testament has to say, you, Jehovah, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. Quoting Psalm 102, which is all about Jehovah, and the writer of the Hebrews says, that's about the Son. That's about Jesus. Usually what happens at this point, the Jehovah Witness will say, I'll get back to you. I did have one brave soul. Well, after I had said, God doesn't mean God, and had said, creator of all things doesn't mean creator of all things, he said, well, maybe Jehovah doesn't mean Jehovah. We need to stop playing games with the Bible, with the Word of God. We have to believe all that the Bible says. And if you're going to believe all that the Bible says, you must believe in the Trinity. And it's not a small subject, because in John chapter 8, Jesus said to the Jews, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. What does that mean? Well, I am is a reference to Jehovah. It's a reference to, in the Old Testament, God calls himself the great I am. I am that I am. It's a the word Yahweh itself comes from the fact that God is. There were many people in Jesus' day who believed Jesus was a prophet. Man from God. Nicodemus came, we know you're a man from God. You wouldn't be able to do all these miraculous things if you weren't from God. They knew he was from God. Jesus saying, that's not enough. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. A false Jesus can't save you. You have to believe in the true Jesus. You have to believe in the true God. And the true God is the triune God. Scripture teaches that God is one in essence, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.